What's up, everybody? This is Couch Co-op Podcast, episode number 13, where we bring you the latest and greatest in gaming news. I'm Joe Nixon. With me, as always, is Casey Tapp.
I always forget if you're going to say my name or if I need to say
it. I give
my
you
name.
That little bit of suspense so that you might try to say it, and then I just cut you off and say, nope, I'm introducing you. So back off.
Well, I'm lazy enough to where I probably just should be like that. That fast.
38 seconds in. Had to bleep. Okay. So, how you been? How you been, Casey?
Me? I've been doing...
We keep doing this whole on again, off again, week off, week on with the podcast.
We do the podcast as we damn see fit.
We're like wizards.
We just do it whenever.
It's like... A wizard only does a podcast exactly when he means to.
Yeah. All right, Gandalf.
So, it has been a while, but this week we actually have a legitimate hit list, which is what we start the show off with. I can't talk because I just ate a ton of food.
This is a bad opening.
I'm like halfway into a food coma.
38 seconds in, I cussed, and then we're just mumbling everywhere.
So, yeah. CouchCoop.net. Shameless plug number one.
Is that your go-to thing when you can't think of what to say? You just go, CouchCoop.net.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's your bail word.
So, let's just jump right into it. With, you know, every week we start to show off with what we have dubbed the hit list.
The hit list.
So, this week we have five items.
I don't know what's on the hit list.
On the hit list. Well, prepare to be surprised. Because there are some surprises.
I didn't get the memo this week.
No, it's cool. It's great.
All right, hit it.
All right, so number one. Naughty Dog has released a new image for Uncharted 4, showing off Nathan Drake's next-gen character model. It is believed that this image is in-engine and is pretty close to what we will actually see in Uncharted 4. So I have it right here for you to view, if you would like to check it out. Look at how old and grizzled he is.
Sexy.
I have a feeling this is like almost 10 years after Uncharted 3.
It's sexy.
That's what it looks like.
It looks good.
It does look good. And that's apparently like in-engine. That's not like pre-composed. No cinematic quality. This is like the engine they're using for the game.
Foreshadowing. What's the frames?
I believe it's at 60 frames.
It is. It's at 60?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's because it's a linear experience with not thousands of pedestrians roaming around a giant city of Paris. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah, that's what I said, foreshadowing.
We'll get to that later. But, so yeah, looks good. I'm pumped, as always. I'll wait forever to play that game because I want it to be amazing, especially if it's going to be the last Uncharted. So.
Yeah. Yep.
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 That's it.
Yeah, that's all I got on that one. It's a great, what are you supposed to say, dude? You basically summed it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great series. It's a... I would hate for them to bring it back out and say, here it is, and it ends up being crap. So
right.
Just
exactly
make it, you know, take your time, make it good. I don't care. I thought that 3 was going to be the last one.
Yeah, but
that's what they made it sound like.
Or at least from towards the end of 3, you were like, is this going to be the last one? Because it got pretty intense there.
Pretty hairy.
But yeah, I can't wait for this one.
Yep.
Chart 4, Thief's End, coming, I think they said 2015, next Christmas.
You know what? I don't think I ever finished 3.
You didn't.
I didn't.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh! I gotta go back!
We have to go back! Sorry, loss. Anyways.
Billy's dead! Leave him!
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that one for sure. But, number 2, this one's pretty interesting. Grim Fandango. Tim Schafer's 1988 adventure game is coming to PS4 in Grim Fandango Remastered. Do you know what this is?
No.
This is it's on my background. The skeleton dude. Here. This guy. It's like a point-click adventure almost type of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it looks familiar.
It's very, Tim Schafer is like the Tim Burton of video games, essentially. His animations are always beautiful, great stuff. Okay. This was critically acclaimed adventure game, and it's being brought to PS4 with Grim Fandango Remastered will come complete with updated visuals, including a flashback option where players can instantly switch between original and remastered graphics. So like Halo, Combat Evolved type stuff.
You're going to have a freaking field day with that, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I will. I love that kind of stuff. I'm all about that
kind
of stuff.
Just for our listeners, I want to tell you about this. We played the, I'm not going to do the whole story, but we were playing the,
Combat Evolved.
Halo CE Anniversary Edition, and they have the button, for all those who have played it, you know they have this button that you can click, and it just changes the graphics from the old school to the remastered version, and you can do it while playing, I mean, on the move, shooting at people.
And it's awesome. And
for some reason, they made it to where the second player can also do that at any time he would like to. So while we were playing, Joe was just flipping the freaking thing back and forth, and it was like
I wanted to see what it looked like.
It was keeping me from shooting people correctly.
Well, you'll be happy to know
effectively.
You'll be happy to know that in Master Chief Collection, it switches instantly. No more dip in, dip out. It's just like instantly.
I don't care. It still throws me off.
But still. We don't have that fade in.
We're not doing that. We're going to go at the beginning of every level. We'll check and see what it looks like. And after that, we're done. We're not flipping around anymore.
I'll be the judge of that.
Because I'm trying to beat this thing on the hardest difficulty without dying.
Okay. Fair enough. But I'll still try it. Anyways, also in Grim Fandango Remastered, there's in-game commentary from Tim Schafer. In every level, there's these icons or like emblems or something on walls, and you can approach them, click X or whatever, and commentary from the creator, Tim Schafer, will play throughout while you're playing the game. Pretty cool for people who've already played it. So
nifty.
The game is slated to be released next year, 2015. So
yeah, I
that's a good example of a remastered.
Well,
like, an old game that nobody people have been wanting to be remastered.
Yeah.
And it finally is getting its time.
You know, I wish that they would bring, I know this isn't a really old game, but I wish that they would bring Journey to PS4.
Oh, they probably will. I think they will eventually. Yeah.
Because that game, I would like to play it on my profile because I don't have gamer score for anything.
Yeah.
Or game trophies.
Whoa, trophies.
Well, I play both, so it's not
fine line there.
But yeah, I would like for it to be on my profile permanently. So,
but yeah, like and then I'm also really excited for the remake of Resident Evil, because I know RE4 got, I can't remember which one it is. RE4 got remade on PS3, I believe.
Yeah,
or remastered.
Yes,
and I don't know if they're doing it again for PS4, or if they do, I'll
buy it, because I was,
it's a great game.
I used to play it on, I think, the PS2.
Yeah, so it was the PS2.
PS2,
GameCube, and PS2.
I love that game. Mm-hmm. It's actually one of the only ones that I've ever played all the way through and finished.
Which is shocking, because it's kind of a terrifying game too.
Exactly, but I loved it. I don't know what it was. I loved that game. Now there were a few times where I almost shit myself.
Yeah,
but I just love that game. Me and Connor used to sit down and play it in the darkness and just straight through.
Yeah, me and my buddy Jason would literally pass the controller in between levels and be like, "All right."
Yeah, but
I would always get. I think it was level 2, the Russian village, with the guy with the chainsaw comes out, and I'd be like, "I'm terrible."
It was a very interesting game for me because at the time I was a big Halo fan, and
that's a much slower game than Halo.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, but the thing that got me was that. Like all the games that I play, you could walk and aim at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In RE4, you could not.
Right.
You had to stop and aim, which hindered you because you had to get really far away from people. If you had a big group, you have to run really far away from them and then turn around and try to pick them off as they come towards you.
Right.
So it's like
a little bit of strategy.
That game would have been a really easy game if I would have been able to walk and shoot at the same
walk
time.
Backwards and be
exactly. Yeah. But still, it was a great game, and I meant to buy it on the PS3, the remastered, but I just never really got around to it, just, you know, buying other games and whatnot.
Right.
And then the PS4 came out, and I was like, well, I'm not going to buy anything more for my PS3, because I'm trying to make the transition. But if it comes out on PS4, I'll probably get it and play through, because it's such a good game. And all the puzzles in it were really fun, too, so.
Yeah, it's a great game. Although that little bridge boy does kind of creep me out a little bit. But,
I will say I had a very small heart attack and nearly pooped myself a little bit when I came up to the really creepy guys in the laboratories, the ones that are like, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they just look like burnt bodies or something.
Yeah.
The first time I ever encountered one of those is the first time you ever come into contact with one. they have those spikes. Like, they'll walk up to you, and then they'll
Iron Maidens, that's what they were called.
And then, like, shoot out of their body and hit you. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see it. I heard the noises, but I didn't know where it was coming from. So I was, like, walking down the hallway, like, where is this guy? And then all of a sudden, it was like, bah! And, like, it hit me, and it, like, I nearly pooped myself. Because it scared the crap out of me.
It is a very scary game.
Yeah.
Moving on, though. Number three. Alien Isolation was released this past Tuesday on October 7th, and currently has a score of 80 on Metacritic. Pretty good score.
Yeah,
pretty
good score.
I saw that IGN gave it a 5.9, though. Mm, that's a really low score.
Out of 10?
Out of 10, yeah. They said it was too long. A lot of people, or a couple of people have been saying that it's too long, but which I can understand for a horror game. You know, if a horror game is too long, then it loses its horror. Like, it's just like, oh, great.
Well, and it's especially if it's like, now, I mean, I don't know a lot about this game. I just know basically what y'all have told me because I don't follow scary games.
Right, yeah.
But it seems like it's just kind of like them in the same predicament throughout the game. Like, they're all in space, right?
Right. I heard that, like, you're about to escape six times in that game, and they just move the goalpost back, and you're just like, nope. Not this time. Nope, not this time. Nope.
See, and that's the thing. And like I said, I don't know the plot or anything. Mm-hmm. But it's they're on a ship. I'm guessing, right? They're on a ship,
space station,
in space. Okay, so you can't just like get out and run away. Mm-hmm. So that's my thing. Is like you're in the same predicament the whole time, and eventually you're just like, all right, let's change it up a little bit. Give me something new. Like give me a new plot to this. Like a new plot twist.
A lot of people said it would have been an amazing game if it was just 6 hours. I'll have to talk because our buddy Connor is playing it, so I'll have to get in touch with him and see how he's playing it.
Do you have his phone number?
I think so. I'll check.
But here, let me give it to you on our live.
No,
like right here while we're talking.
Let's not do that. but I'm hoping to get it pretty soon as well because I'll hopefully be getting a PS4 this week.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
Draw that out, dude.
I need to see if I can borrow your parents' TV too. So
that was almost a bad idea.
So yeah. I've always been pumped for this game. It's probably just because Alien is one of like the best movies I've ever seen in my life.
It is a good movie.
It's a good movie. Number four. This one hurts a little bit. The crew has been delayed. Drops mic, walks away. The original release date was November 11th, but now the open world racing title won't be released until December 2nd. It's not that big of a delay, so it doesn't really hurt me that bad. Plus, there will be a new closed beta for PS4 and Xbox One, requested by many, and now it's following suit, and it'll be like the first week of November, so that's pretty cool.
Interesting.
So if you want to try out the crew, see how you can get into that closed beta. I'm pretty sure you just have to pre-order it, though, and you'll get in.
We might look into that.
Yeah. So yeah, take your time, Ubisoft. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just give me a fun racing game.
Yeah, that's the thing. I wish that people weren't so like antsy to get the games because it puts a lot of pressure on the developers, you know, and it would be so much better if everybody had that mentality like, all right, well, I know I really want this game, but take your time and finish what you need to finish. Like make sure you do this correctly.
And on the market side of things, it's actually kind of a smart move because Forza Horizon 2 just came out, as well as Drive Club. So those are two racing games. In November, people might not really be looking to buy another racing game.
Yeah.
But come December, you know, kids getting consoles or even people just, you know, Christmas shopping. It's
it doesn't matter if you just want a stack of gold or something. Christmas comes around.
You'll sell some copies.
Yeah, you get stuff.
And I think it's a good move. It'll put the crew more into that holiday series of sales.
Yeah, a lot of parents. I noticed this. I mean, just kind of being a gamer and working at GameStop during a Christmas. A lot of parents come in and they're like, they'll just kind of come in and say, "Well, I'm buying a gift for a nephew," and I would tell them, I'd say, "Okay, well, what console?" And they'd say, PlayStation. Well, what kind of game do you want? And
PlayStation just be 3, like, PlayStation 2.
Well, you know, but most people would say PlayStation 3. But it was one of those things where I would be like, well, what kind of games does he like? I don't know. What's the newest game? I mean, there's this car game. This is a shooter. This is, you know, whatever. Okay, well, just give me two. because they don't really focus on what, like, especially, like, I know parents, a lot of parents do, but, you know, there are a lot of parents out there that don't really follow what their kids are playing.
Right.
You know, they don't really care.
Which should do if they're under the age of 16.
Well, no, but I mean, they check the labels and stuff, but they don't care what the plot is.
Right.
And, you know, they don't care it's a car game, a shooter, whatever. They just, you know, as long as it keeps their kids happy and quiet, they're like, okay, yeah, sure, go for it. But, you know, a lot of, like, relatives, like, say, like, grandma and grandpa or aunts and uncles, they definitely don't know because they don't live with the kids that play the games, you know.
Right.
So whenever they hear, like, oh, he, you know, little Billy wants a car racing game, they don't know which one to get at GameStop.
Right.
They just come in and buy a car game, you know. So, I mean, around Christmas time, you could really sell all of the games, doesn't matter what they are. If they're new games, they're going to get sold.
Yeah. But, I mean, even if they say it was to, it's more of like a double check on their servers or whatever. But even if it wasn't for that, it's still a good move, I think.
Well, yeah,
put them in a spot where not very many.
I think games as long as you're sold. If they're going to wait and then have it come out at a different time, I think that's almost always a smart move. Almost always, because really you're not losing money on it, you know, especially if it's one of those things where, like, you're just, like, pushing the date back just so it doesn't come out around another time.
Right.
You're not paying your developers, your guys that are making your stuff. You're not paying them while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They've already made the game. They're moving on to another game. So you're paying them for a separate thing. That game, you're just waiting so you can let it out whenever there's not 15 other car games that come out. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
You want it to stand out. Mm-hmm. So that's a smart move. It really is.
Agreed. Number 5. After news was released that Assassin's Creed would run at 30 frames per second.
Sorry, I'm excited about that game.
I really am too. A lot of people aren't now. But anyways, here we go.
Screw me.
After news was released that Assassin's Creed Unity would run at 30 frames per second at 900p, gamers, in parentheses, poorly expressed their disapproval, and Ubisoft responded saying that frame rate and resolution were locked on both consoles, but the choice was not made, quote, to account for any one system, end quote. Followed by another quote, Ubisoft does not constrain its games. We would not limit a game's resolution, and we would never do anything to intentionally diminish anything we've produced or developed, end quote.
Get off their ass.
People, like, this is segueing into our topic of the week, so we might as well just dive right into it.
Yep.
So I also need to pull up, well, we'll talk about this here in a bit, but, like, why do
our topic, let's be clear, our topic is the frame rate,
this whole frame rate issue, like,
yeah,
across several games, not just Assassin's Creed. It happened with Destiny also. It's happening with a lot of next-gen titles that are coming out that aren't running at 60 frames a second.
But also, to be clear, we might end up talking about some Assassin's Creed stuff too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. These are both related to Assassin's Creed. Is the reason why we're talking about it is because of the Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been looking into a lot of Assassin's Creed stuff because we are really pumped about it.
Yeah,
so,
I'm really excited for that game.
So basically, like, the reason why we're coming up with the frame thing is because of Assassin's Creed.
Right.
People had a problem with it. So
yet again.
So we'll probably talk about both here as our main topic.
So here's my thing. First of all, 30 frames. We've been using 30 frames a second for the past, who knows, like, decades and decades. So, like, to me, like, I understand if something can't run at 60 frames because it's hard to do. You're essentially doubling the amount of information that has to be taken in every second.
Yep.
Kind of puts strain on some stuff. And I think people are just, like, they think these consoles are a little more powerful than they actually are. Like,
yeah,
looking at the specs, they're both about the same. The PS4 takes information faster, while the Xbox One takes it slower, just slightly. But but they're not high-end PCs that can run things at the highest resolution at the highest frame rate.
Yeah,
that's just not how those things are built.
And we were talking about earlier, well, yesterday when we were drunk, we were talking about how, like, they could have, if they really wanted to, they could have made these consoles to power through stuff like that. But you would be paying a lot more for it.
Because, might as well buy a PC.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was saying. That was my big thing, is I was like, I feel like a lot of the people that have that problem with the frame rate are people that play PCs. And that's fine, you know. PC gamers, you know, they're used to that kind of stuff because they can handle their gaming device, for
right.
lack of a better word, would be a lot better than a console. And that's fine. That's, you know, that's the joke online, is that, you know, PC gamers are these, like, royal people, and then the console gamers are
PC
the...
PC master race.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's the thing, is, like, if... I feel, from just reading into stuff, is that a lot of times if people have a problem with the frame rate, it's because they play PC and they're dropping down and playing on a console.
Yeah.
For, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they don't have their PC hooked up to their TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a problem with it. My response to that is, play it on the PC.
Yeah, don't play it on consoles.
Don't buy a console. Go to the store, and instead of spending $400 or $500 on an Xbox or a PS4, go to Best Buy, buy the stuff that you need to hook it to your TV, and then buy a controller for your PC. Okay? It's the exact same thing, and it runs on a higher quality.
If that's what you absolutely have to have.
If that's what you want, that's how you get it. Don't complain about it. Go deal with it like an adult.
Nobody's forcing you to buy it on console.
Exactly. Like...
But, needless to say, the internet was outraged at some of this stuff.
I get outraged about everything.
And so, I was...
Those internets.
I saw one of the posts on Reddit. It was talking about it. So...
You really want to talk about some people getting enraged. Reddit's where
Reddit,
you go. Yeah.
People just flip their shit on Reddit. But anyways. So, So one of the comments was, in response to that post, was they're bullshitting people so they don't feel like they're getting a shitty product. Some of us just happen to see through it. All right, so here's what I responded. I was like, is cutting the frame rate down to 30 frames per second making it a shitty product? ? That may sound bad for others, but for me, I couldn't care less what the frame rate runs at.
Period.
As long as the game is fun and runs well, that's all I need.
Period.
Recently... It seems like every time a AAA title is about to be released, there's a huge uproar with frame rate, and I just don't understand why. Yeah. Period. End of statement. The next comment, the guy who responded to me, yes, cutting the frames per second down to 30 is making it a shitty product. Some people do not perceive changes in frame rate, which is fine, but most people in the world can tell the difference. Here's the thing. I can tell the difference between 30 and 60. I just don't care.
Yeah.
At all. Like, give me a game that's fun to play, that runs well, and I'll play it.
There you go.
It's like, I can tell the difference. I'm not an idiot. It's not like, no, there's not really a big difference. It's like, yeah, sure, it makes things seem fluid, but things seem fluid at 30 frames per second anyway.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Another thing is that...
And the rest of the world.
Well, see, and some people, and I've heard this from more than just, you know, a handful of people. Whenever they first started releasing the TVs that were, you know, more frames per second, it made the picture sharper.
Right.
You know, that was the main thing, is that it made the picture more crisp.
Because it makes the less amount of frame blending that you have to do.
Exactly.
So, like, frame-to-frame transition.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people, especially right whenever those TVs came out, had a big problem with it. They were getting headaches and stuff like that because mm-hmm. it was almost
like, too sharp.
Yeah, it would strain your eyes mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I even had that problem when I first got my flat screen. I was watching some stuff like high definition Blu-ray, and I'm watching it and I'm just like, holy crap, man, this is killing me.
Right.
So I'd have to like put my glasses on and like sit farther away from the TV because I was just like, this is killing me. Like, it's really bad. And, I mean, even some TV shows, like, if you're watching, like, the football game, you're like, dang, this is like I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
But that can hurt you whenever you're looking at a TV, you know?
Right.
That's kind of like they say, don't sit too close to your TV, that sort of thing. But, like, whenever it's that good, your eyes are trying to focus a lot harder, and it makes it a lot harder for them to work. So, but, I mean, it's just one of those things is, like, it can work. And to an extent, the guy, he's telling the truth. People can notice it. But it's just like, we don't play it for the graphics. You know, what I'm saying? Like, if you're playing video games and all you care about is the graphics, go look at art.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
It's not, you're not playing it.
Go watch
it.
Pixar.
Yeah, you're not playing it because it looks good. You're playing it because it's fun and mm-hmm. it is a hobby. And now, I'm not saying people can't have their own opinions. If you want a higher frame rate, that's fine. Go play on a PC.
Right.
But, like, it's just, people get too bent out of shape about things that are supposed to be, people make, these game developers make video games all the time that look like crap. They're, well, not really crap, but they're like arcade games.
Yeah.
And they end up being some of the funnest games ever. but you don't hear people complaining about that.
Right. It's just like, every time one of these whatever controversial things happens with frame rate, like, all the responses, all the negative responses that I hear just, like, scream entitled gamer. Like, I deserve 60 frames per second at 1080p. Like, it's like, do you really, though? Like, I think you're probably worth maybe 24 frames.
Hey, brother, what have you done to deserve that? What have you given back to the gaming community?
Well, I'm the consumer. They should be, exactly. it's like, my thing is that if you don't want to play it at 30 frames a second, then just don't buy it.
Yeah. Don't be a consumer. If you have a problem with it, don't be a consumer.
But, like,
protest. Anarchy.
But, gosh, like, and this guy just assumed that I couldn't tell the difference between frame rates or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why he made that comment. But I can tell the difference, but that's not why I choose to play video games.
And another thing, and I believe you said that he said that they cut the frame rate. They cut it down, is what he said.
Who says that it was at 60 before?
Well, that, but that's what I'm saying. If most games are running at 30, then they didn't
the
cut
standard.
It down. That's standard. Now, if they dropped it to 20 or 10, yeah, I would be like, okay, hold on a second, because every other game runs perfectly at this thing. Why would you bring it down more? But, like, you're basically asking them whenever people say, like, you need to... Excuse me, I'm like burping or hiccuping. I don't know what
it's all
that is.
Food.
Something's messing with me. But you're basically asking the game developers, hey, stop working on how fun this is and make it look better.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, is that the more that they put into the graphics, the less like coding space they have to put into the game work.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to run at 60 frames a second, they'd probably have to cut the citizens on screen in half, making the city feel less populated and less real. They would probably have to dumb down some of the textures, especially like draw distances.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, like, people don't understand that on a disc, even on Blu-ray,
right,
there's only so much space to put information on that.
Right.
Which is a video game or any program is basically just a big lump of information.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works. It relays and it says, this is what this looks like, this is what this looks like.
Right.
And the sharper image, the sharper that image is,
The more information
that has to be there.
And the thing is that right now, these developers are still getting used to next-gen development.
That is true.
So, like, they're probably putting or using up all the space they can to make this thing look next-gen.
Yeah, exactly.
So they don't know the systems well enough to make their shortcuts and then add more space for 60 frames.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, give it a break. It's the first next-gen Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, and that's another thing is that I think that I have never heard a game developer come out and say, we are trying to make this game look like real life.
Right.
I've never heard them come out and say that. If you ask them, they will tell you that they want to make it look good, but not necessarily perfect.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to do that, they would have to just spend... You wouldn't be able to put it on one disc.
Mm-hmm.
If you made a game like Assassin's Creed, and you took it and you said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this game, like, it already has all this fighting, all this stuff. We're going to leave the gameplay the way it is. But we're going to take another year or two and make it look like real life. Now, they could probably do it.
I mean, they'd have to scan thousands and thousands of citizens.
Exactly.
So that they would each be different.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but they could probably do it. Now, I don't have a doubt in that. They could probably do that. And I'm not even saying make all the people look different. They could all, it could be like 20 different people and right. just copy them everywhere. But I'm saying like they're like facial features mm-hmm. and like the surroundings. Everything looks like you if you were just standing there or if you were watching it for off of TV, okay? They could make it look like that, but it would be like a 10-disc pack or something that you had to download all this stuff. It's kind of like Skyrim or Oblivion. All the Bethesda games, people used to go crazy about them because whenever you would download the game, like if you got it from the store,
yeah.
it would be like 8 gigs mm-hmm. for Oblivion, which at the time was huge.
Yeah.
Like everybody was like, God dang, that's a big game.
Like what because was, Skyrim was like 15 to 20 gigs.
I don't remember. It was huge. I had that on...
probably even more than that.
Well, I did have it on 360. We might have to look at that later just to check. But I know, you know, they put it on the Xbox 360 originally had 2 discs.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like, that's a perfect example of, like, you know, there's not an unlimited amount of space to make mm-hmm. these games, you know? Now, they could do it. They could make it and just basically download the whole thing. It could be, like... 40 gigs.
Assassin's Creed's out today. Play it next week.
Yeah, exactly. They'd have to like start downloading it like 2 weeks in advance just to have it ready to play when it comes out, yeah. you know? But, you know, I mean, that's just how it is.
And if there's one game that I can understand being at 30 frames a second, it's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Because they said there's like what? There can be up to 2,000, what do you call it?
AI
on screen at one time, and it's a one-to-one replica of Paris, yeah. Revolutionary Paris.
Yeah, they and
all that's loaded at one. There's no loading screens.
I'll never get mad at any developer for ever giving you an average frame rate on an open world.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
That's
to
a
take
lot
in.
Of crap to just pack into one little picture.
And the thing is that you know gamers need to stop. Demanding things from developers. Like, they don't owe you anything. They're making a product for you to enjoy.
Yeah.
You're not controlling the outcome of that.
Another thing is that a lot of the people that work for those stuff, you know, that's one of the weird, like, that's one of the weird jobs where the guys that come in to work are usually guys that don't come in for money. They come in because they love it.
Right.
They love to yeah. make this stuff. So really, they're making these games for themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's their passion and because they love to play video games. So they're not there to get a paycheck and make you happy. They're there to do something and make themselves feel good about what they've done for the day. You know, it's like me in construction. You know, I tell everybody, you know, it really is about the money. In the long run, it really is. But it's that sense, like whenever you get done, there's that. Because I just finished one of my jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where, like, I stood outside my job the other day right before I left, and I just looked up at the building, and I was like, I've been working on this for 2 years, and yes, I only did the duct work. It's a very small part of the building, but it all comes together,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing what we've made, you know? And that sense of, like, accomplishment and, like, self-worth, really, like, there's really nothing that can beat that, man. It's crazy. Yeah. So, like, the guys that make these video games, especially as much, like, coding and stuff like that goes into it, all the hours that they spend to try to make it look perfect, it's just, like, it's, you know, they feel good about it.
Yeah.
And they don't, and then they turn around and people are like, well, the frame rate's not good enough.
And it's at 900p.
And you're basically like, dude, do you know how long I've been working on this damn thing?
And about the 900p thing is, okay, so 1080p, all right, that's like the HD. Or like the highest def that most TVs have.
Yeah.
Some TVs have 4K, but whatever. So
those are really good ones.
So 1080p, all right? It's running at 990p, which means there's only 100 less pixels per square inch.
Well, and also
or pixel 100 less pixel lines in the screen.
The last gen ones ran on 720, right?
Most of them were at 720.
I know that Skyrim ran on 720.
Yeah,
because for a while. There, I think it was my TV at my parents' house. It's a little 26-inch Vizio.
Mm-hmm.
It would tell me what what resolution the screen was on every time I loaded a game. So I would turn on the console and it would say 1080p because the main menu on the PlayStation 3 was running at 1080p because it's so simple.
Right.
You know, it's just little boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was like my TV would pop up, and this is not the console that did this. My TV recognized what it was running at. So it would pop up in the top right-hand corner and say 1080p, and it'd say component or HDMI 1, 1080p, PS3.
And then you put the game
and
in
and
it switches.
And then put the game in, yeah. And the console would relay to the TV and say, okay, I'm about to start running at 720. So my TV would go pop up, and it'd say HDMI 1, 720, PS3. So it told me what the game was running at. I never once flipped out about that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting thing to know.
You didn't, like, throw the controller down and be like, what?
I wasn't like, what the hell? No, I just was
like gamers are taking it personally that this is running like at a standard frame rate and slightly below like the highest of high definition.
Like, it's crazy.
I just don't get it. You're making me mad, gamers.
I'm actually kind of excited that it's going up to 9, because most of the games that we play nowadays are at 7.
Yeah, it's still
going to
look better.
Yeah, it's going
to
look better.
Than previous Assassin's Creed games.
Especially if it looks like the trailers. The trailer looks good.
Yeah, dude. I can't wait for that game.
We need to let's mosey on over.
Yeah, let's sweeten this conversation up with some delightful Assassin's Creed stuff.
Let's get off these haters. Hey, I didn't see you there. I was too busy
blocking out the haters.
Yes.
Yeah.
That kid.
Great. That kid knows what he's doing. But yeah, Assassin's Creed. I'm excited that it's running at 30 frames a second and 900p, because it could be running at 5 frames a second at 30p.
Yeah, we're optimists here at Couch Co-op.
It's just like, man, I love it whenever like it takes like 3 seconds for this guy to take one step. That's so great. Just yeah. Like...
I know. Really. I would love for the storyline of this game to look like Call of Duty running on poor quality.
And by the way, let me throw some science. let me throw you...
On lag.
Before we sweeten this up, let me throw some science at you. The reason why film has been at 24 frames a second since a long time.
Since Jesus?
Not Jesus. They didn't have movies. But like...
Jesus had movies.
It became a standard because there's something called persistence of motion. Wherever you can see a series of pictures and make it out into one picture.
I'm about to get a damn lecture.
Yeah, you are. You're getting a lecture at home, too, so listen here.
Most people have to pay for this.
So, persistence of motion is where you see a series of pictures one after the other, and you see them as a moving image. Okay?
Okay.
So that's why in movies, it looks like a moving thing, because it's a bunch of pictures coming at you, and it looks like motion.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? So... The persistence of motion is actually around 17 frames a second.
Okay.
So at 17 frames a second, it'll still look like it's moving. But 24 is the standard because it gives you a little headroom, you know? So, like, even fast movements will somewhat pick up. It'll still get a little, like, blurry in between frames.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Okay. So could you really relate this to the effect you see whenever you see a strobe light?
Yeah. That's cutting your persistence of motion down to about half.
But a lot of what I was trying to get at was a lot of strobe lights have a knob on the back,
mm-hmm.
and it lets you turn up the speed at which
right.
it blinks. So, just for everyone out there, this is a lot easier to kind of
right.
see what
yeah.
you're talking about. If you take a strobe light and you turn it on, and you have your friend walk from the farthest end of your room towards you, the faster that you turn that up, the more times that the light turns on, so that you can see what's in front of you. The smoother it will look
exactly.
towards him coming towards you. Because
yeah.
I know a lot of people, especially if they're like me, you see a strobe light, you just want to dance in front of it because you look cool.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody were to turn that on, like all the way on to where it was almost an instant light.
It would be like, oh, you're dancing at normal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You would see it as like a perfect
mm-hmm.
thing because your eyes perceive that way.
That's the idea, yeah. So like persistent motion is at 17 frames. 24 frames has been the standard. Games have been about 30 because that's digital video. The
yeah.
standard is 30 frames a second. So, like, it's not going to look choppy. It's still going to look – you're going to still be able to detect movement.
Just out of curiosity, do you know what the how fast your eyes can pick up?
There's no calculation. Like, our eyes are constantly taking in information. There's no frame rate for the eyes.
Well, I heard somewhere, and I could just be an idiot, but I heard somewhere that your eyes can only send, it's not your eyes pulling in, it's the signals going back and forth from your eyes to your brain.
Right, it's that constant flow.
That's why, like, sometimes if you throw your hand past your face really fast, you can't see your hand perfectly all the way across.
Yeah.
It looks like a swoosh because your eyes cannot perceive how fast your hand just went by.
Right, but it's still, like, you can't really calculate frames per second-wise. But, like, when we're looking at pictures, you can say 24 frames looks like normal motion.
Okay, all right. So I was just curious. That's something I heard about a while back, and I thought it was interesting, but...
But, yeah, so, like... 30 frames, all right, it's normal. Like, to me, if it's any higher than 30, like, the Hobbit movies were at 48 frames a second, which is double the film standard, so it was twice the pictures or whatever. And it looked cool, it looked crisp, but it was, you know, a little weird at first, but you get used to it. Same thing when playing, like, a 60 frame per second video game. Like, it's weird at first, but you get used to it. But anything above 30, I just see it as, like, cool, it's icing on the cake. Like...
It's extra.
It's cool. Like, that's cherry. A cool addition. I don't see it as necessary, because what's necessary is persistence of motion, not super perception of motion,
yeah.
If you get what I'm saying. Like,
you need to be able to see it well enough to enjoy the storyline.
Or just enjoy the gameplay.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
If the gameplay mechanics get across in 30 frames a second, that's all you need.
It's kind of like if you're playing Call of Duty online, and I'm just saying Call of Duty, I love Call of Duty, I'm not trying to hate on them, but Call of Duty seems to be the only game that I've ever had a problem with lagging online, and it's kind of like, you know, when you're playing Call of Duty online, and you're on a really good internet connection, everything runs smoothly, and that's fine, you're good. You're not running faster than the internet, which is impossible, but you know, you're running at the average speed, the acceptable speed for the game.
Right.
Right? Now, you're really going to have a problem whenever it starts lagging and you're not getting your information as fast, and you're just jumping around, and the person you're trying to shoot is teleporting, you know, 15 feet at a time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's when you start having problems. Well, that's what people are making it seem like that's what's going on with this frame rate thing, but it's not. You're not dumbing it down. You're playing at an average speed.
Right.
Everything's at an average speed. So, people are just trying to make it out to be a bad thing.
It's just annoying, man.
Yeah. All right, Assassin's Creed. Let's get off of this.
Locking out the haters.
Dude, we're like ranting right now. We're going at them. It does, but we talk about this a lot, though, because it really pisses us off.
I mean, like, I got so upset over the whole Destiny thing that I wrote an editorial piece about it.
Yeah.
So go read that if you want to at couchcoop.net.
That's okay. Well, let's move on and let's talk about some fun things.
Happy place.
For those who have made it past our rant and into the...
Right, yeah. Gosh. Assassin's Creed looks dope. I learned from binge watching several videos that the... Revolutionary Paris is actually one-to-one.
Yep.
So, like, all the streets are there that were there then.
They said that the, awesome. Was it the, not the Colosseum,
the Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Or
they said they
Notre Dame.
They said they spent more time on that. Like, they spent
a long time, like over a year.
Just on that building alone.
And it looks magnificent. Because
they said that it looks exactly like the building in real life.
And I'm going to get to climb all over it.
Yeah, and another thing that I thought was really interesting they said is that they opened up a lot of buildings so that you can just go inside of them instead of them being blocked off or having to be opened and then load screen. They said that it's
no
like...
No load screens.
It's no load screen. It's instant transition, unless maybe if you're playing with some friends and it's lagging a little bit.
Mm.
But if you're playing by yourself, no load screens. You can just walk right into a building.
That's awesome.
And it's perfect transition. And another thing I thought was interesting that they said is that they added a cover system for this game.
Yeah. Like similar to like Watch Dogs type cover system.
Yeah, you like hug the walls and stuff. I mean, I love that. Though I will say one thing, though.
Because the cover system in Black Flag and Assassin's Creed 3, like where you're like, oh, approach this corner and you'll enter cover. And it's like really weird.
Yep.
But I like the way this one's going.
I hope that, and this is just me, I love Black Flag, but I really hope they don't put ships in this one.
No, there's not. Like, I haven't heard any talks of naval combat.
I don't like that they started adding that into the games because it takes away from the Assassin's.
I'm pretty sure they only did it in 3 because they were working on 4 and they were seeing how it went with the public.
Well, and you know, everybody that's reviewed this game, like, personally, like, played it and everything, they say that, like, it's not like all the other Assassin's Creed games. You can't just jump in and fight down a whole group of bad guys. They said that the fighting is hard so that people will have to be more stealthy.
Right. And one of the best things I've heard is that a lot of people are saying it's very akin to the first Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
Which I loved because they were like, here's your target. Go learn some information, some extra if you want to. And then assassinate them at this point. It's like,
whenever we moved over to Ezio, it was like, okay, well, he can just beat the crap out of people.
Ezio can kill everybody.
Yeah, so you don't need to go and learn how to sneak in. Just run through the front door and punch him in his face.
Right.
You know? And another thing I thought was interesting is that they took the whole, when you kill somebody, it's that, like, 10-minute dialogue.
Oh, yeah,
They said they took that out.
That flashes a memory now, which is pretty cool.
Well, but they said that it's not a
white room.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen instantly. Like, whenever you kill the guy, they said that you don't go into that instantly. When you kill him, you just stand up, and then you have to get yourself out.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have that little monologue. I think that comes after the mission.
Well, see, what I saw was it happens when you kill him, and that information gets transferred to your character, and you see it in quick flashes of, like, a memory jump. Like, you see some of his memories.
Okay.
And so it happens during the kill, but, like, it's not like load screen, here's the white room, I'm gonna talk to you for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just like a quick, like, 30-second thing, and then you're back in the game and you're running out.
Yeah.
So, like, that'll give you clues to, like, possibly your next, and those are for, like, the only story kills.
Yeah.
So, like, it'll give you hints as who you're gonna kill next or whatever.
But yeah, the game looks amazing.
Yes.
This will look
beautiful.
The controlled descent is a topic that I want to talk on, because that, I don't know why they haven't put that in.
I'm pretty sure it was in there, because
I used to have problems with it all the
parkour
time.
Down button all the time in the previous ones, but it was called drop. It was, you press B when you're near a ledge.
And
you wouldn't hang off the end. You would just jump down. You wouldn't jump out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were on the roof, you could just hold B while you were running towards the roof, and he would hop down instead of doing a crazy jump across.
I never
but
liked it.
But it sounds like it's way more improved.
Well, he actually, like, climbs down the wall.
Right. Like swiftly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like he, like, grabs on and is, like, left foot. Right foot.
Right.
Left hand, right hand. And he just, like, slowly climbs down. But that he does use the wall to make his way down.
Right.
So it's like, I like that. Because that was my biggest thing, is that I was listening to a video and they were saying, like, no need to find haystacks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, thank God. Because, like, I always had problems getting off the roof. I did most of my fighting from rooftops because I was just like,
yeah.
And especially in Black Flag, like, there were times in Black Flag where I would kill everybody by, I would just run up and I would kill the guy on the rooftop that had the gun,
mm-hmm.
and I just start sniping people.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, I don't know how to get down. So I'm just going to kill everybody I can. And then I'll
call the fire department.
I mean, I was like, I don't know how to get down off the roof. So I'm just going to shoot everybody until I run out of ammo. And then I'll just climb down leisurely. You know, I don't have to worry about anybody coming.
But, like, one of my favorite additions to the parkour system is that there's no need for right angles anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to, like, run directly into a wall to climb up it. Because if you're holding the parkour up button and you're running down a street and you kind of veer over to a wall, he'll, like, wall run up and then continue his path.
Cool.
So you don't have to do it at right angles anymore. Makes it, people are saying it's way more fluid, not as jerky at all, and improvement.
They said the same thing whenever Black Flag came out.
Which I don't know why.
I will admit, after, because I played
3? Black Flag?
The one right before Black Flag. I can't remember the name of it.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Because it was bad.
Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah.
Native American.
Anyways, yeah, Native American.
Gosh.
Connor.
It was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. But I played Black Flag, and I played 3. Mm-hmm. And I did feel like whenever I was playing Black Flag that there was a few things that felt different from 3.
Right.
That it felt a little off.
Yeah.
And I remember because I specifically was like, I guess talking to myself, but I was like, why is it doing this? Why? Because there were times where my guy wouldn't do what I wanted him to do, and it made me angry.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I miss about the the parkour system is in one of them, I don't think they carried this over, but in one of them they had it to where when you jumped, you could push your stick in the direction that you wanted him to catch.
Yeah.
And he would lean, he would like reach his arm out, and he wouldn't like, if you were jumping and you wanted to catch something on your left, but you were really close to the right wall, you would just lean to the left. He wouldn't grab onto the wall he was close to. He would reach out and try to grab something on his left.
Right.
And if they put that back in, I will be pumped about that.
Well, it looks like you'll have a lot more control when you're parkouring to choose, like, the path that you want, is what they're saying. So, like, you won't, like, accidentally jump off a roof and it be a completely 90-degree angle away from what you were actually trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice. But another cool thing is that all the missions, there's no desynchronization for the missions now. Like, if you're doing a tail mission...
Unless you die. Yeah.
But if you're doing, like, a tail mission and the guy sees you, it turns into a chase mission.
Yeah, so
you have
exactly.
to chase him. And if you lose him, then you have to go up somewhere and locate him.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's what... Because one of the most aggravating things was those tail missions, man.
Yeah.
Or, like... Oh, you're out of range. You're going to be desynchronized and you get desynced. But in this one, I'm glad they're not doing
that. Yeah, because to be fair, if you were really an assassin, even if you lost the guy, you can find him again.
Right, but they played the whole thing like, oh, that's not how this character did that, though.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, I'm pretty sure this character also didn't run around and just kill whales 24/7 just to get a satchel.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Exactly. But and another thing is that the assassination missions are like mini open worlds.
Yeah.
It's like Hitman.
Yep.
Like the original Assassin's Creed was. It was Hitman with a blade instead of Hitman with a gun.
Yep.
And that's what I loved about the first ones was that it was super simple. It was like, here's all your targets, we'll give you one by one, you go find out where they are and you go kill them.
Yeah.
And, like, you got to approach that from however you wanted to, and it was awesome.
The first Assassin's Creed, I think, was a very good assassin game.
Yeah.
And then whenever we started moving into the other ones, it seemed like they were more of like a movie,
like a
cinematic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I don't care about all this crap, let me do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see a cinematic of him finding out information. Mm-hmm. I want to go and do it myself.
Right.
Let me go find the information. Yeah. You know?
Agreed.
And I liked that a lot better. I liked in the first one that they had the little huts that you had to climb in through the roof.
Yeah.
And you would go in there and you'd say, give me my contract, you know?
Yeah, that was awesome. Like, the secret hideout.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just like, I know who to kill now. It was like, no, you have to escape the guys who are chasing you now and then go back to your base.
And it was like, it wasn't like you had to do all of the research yourself. It's like you had other guys and you could go and say, like, what do you know? And they'd be like, okay, well, I heard from this guy that this target that you're looking for is in this location.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it gave a reason to why you know what you know.
And it made you, like, actually, like, think about how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about this one is that, like, the one that we've seen is the one inside the church and then the one over by the beheadings.
Well, and the one with the... The one that I would say actually would be a really good one is that when you watch the gameplay of the multiplayer where they had four guys,
yeah.
They come up to one point where there's an open hallway, but there's a bunch of guards in there. And the guy that's playing is saying, okay, well, our target has a lot of bodyguards. We need to figure out another way around. Well, right about that time, he looks over and one of his partners who has a really high lock picking skill, which they say is a really good thing to have, just picks a lock on a locked door. And they actually just bypass all of the guards. They
nice.
Go around the outside, and then they go, they jump in through a window and kill the few guards that are in there and the guy. And the guards outside never know. So
nice.
I hope, though, I will say, in one of the cinematics that they showed, and this was a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't gameplay. But in the trailer, they showed them like run in and grab the guy and just throw him out the window. They didn't kill him. They threw him out into the streets.
Looked more like an accident or something.
Well, no, it didn't kill him.
Oh.
They threw him out of his building into the streets where all the rioters were. And they let them kill them. Yeah, so it was that's like, pretty cool. It was like they never even had to kill anybody. They just put him in a position to die.
Nice.
And I was like, that would be cool. I would play as that guy. Because I would be like, I would basically be like...
Give vengeance to the people.
Exactly. Right. I would be that
revolution
in the shadows kind of guy that like helps the people deal with their problems. You know, I'd like hop in and go, "Hey man, you stole all this money, and now you're gonna now I want you to meet all the people you stole from." And I'd be like, "Get out that window," and like kick him out the window. And then
another cool thing about the citizens though, and especially the ones that side themselves with the rebels or the rebellion, is like I heard that one guy was playing. Like one of the demos, and he set his controller down for like maybe 5 minutes. He was checking something on his phone or something,
mm-hmm.
and he looks up and there's a full on battle in the streets, like between
I heard about that. They said that there's like
awesome.
There's like random encounters, like
the
people, and they said
like the people are like actually doing stuff outside of like whatever you're doing.
Exactly, yeah, and that's really cool because it's better than just like, hey, look at this little peaceful town, you mm-hmm. know? Especially since they're basing this game around the revolution.
Yeah, that was a very trying time,
You would expect to see people getting beat up or something. Mm-hmm. And they said that there's other ones that you can do where, like, some of the guards, like, you'll be running down a street, and some of the guards will be, like, yanking people out of a house.
Yeah.
And, like, beating them in the streets, and you can choose to intervene or not. And they said that also that if you do... And you step in and you intervene. It also opens up a whole like side quest to where you can go and kill the guy that's responsible for sending them there. Like,
see, that's awesome.
You can go and kill their leader. So that's I was like, cool. That's pretty cool.
I feel like this is going to be a game that I'm going to be able to play for a long time.
Well, and you know from the multiplayer standpoint for us, they said that the co-op missions are open world.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like run around and do all this stuff. So like basically. It's like playing the storyline with a friend.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And there's like, what, 12 missions? And who knows? I don't even know how many heist missions there are.
I don't know.
But those change every single time, so...
Yeah. See, I mean, so like... I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And they have the whole thing about like, if you're wearing heavy armor and you have a battle axe, like you're going to be a lot easier to see than the guy who's...
You won't be climbing up on rooftops very easily is what they're saying, so...
But...
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I like that they're going back to the more assassin-like, you need to be stealth
mm-hmm.
and not just run in and...
And have like 16 pistols on your person
and
a blowgun and 12 swords and a spear. It's like...
A bag of rocks.
He runs in like holding all these weapons. He's like, okay, I'm here. And he throws them all down. He's like, spear. He's going to kill the guy. It's like, no.
Kills one guy with the spear and then sets it back down. Now I'm done with
and
this one.
He grabs all his stuff. He's like, I'm out. And he like runs out and you just hear like, clink, 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 clink. It's like,
that's another thing with the first one that they made in that. Because I watched every trailer, every Assassin's Creed trailer. There was a thing the other day where they put them in order. So you could just watch them, you know?
On like a playlist and everything?
Yeah, well, it was just, I mean, they're each like a minute long.
Yeah.
Like they're not long at all, but they, yeah. Yeah.
Understandable. Yeah. Continue.
Okay, but anyways, so, but they put them in order, but I thought it was funny that on the first one, like, you couldn't really see any of his weapons. You could see, like the arm... Like
the wrist blade.
Well, you could see the thing on his arm, but you couldn't see the actual
because it was hid by his sleeve.
Yeah. Well, no, there's like a leather.
Yeah.
There was like a leather.
It looked like a brace.
Or so, like a wrist brace or some shit. But and then like he had a little stomach satchel that I think had like a dagger
and throwing knives.
And then he had one sword
and the short sword on his back.
Yeah. So like. It was one of those things is like...
It made sense.
You really could blend in with that stuff if you were careful.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought it was funny that they made it to where he could blend in with the monks.
Yeah.
Because he looked just like them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's good.
Yeah, that was like one of the highlights of that game is like running around and then escaping in a crowd of monks.
See, and that's another thing is that... See, but in the first one, the one thing that I was... When I watched the trailer, I was like... It made it look like there was going to be like... 50 of them coming out of a building.
Yeah, it was only
And then
like
you get
four.
Into the game and there's four and you're just walking in the middle of them.
But how are they going to make 50 monks when they can only have like 100 people on screen?
Exactly. Well, but that's the thing now is that now that they're strong enough to have that many people on screen, you could literally like if you knew what time certain things come like happened, you could like you'd hear like a bell going off in the yes. distance and you're like, I know what that bell goes to. The monks are getting out of prison.
Let's go party with the monks. Come on.
You go running like everybody's chasing and you're like running and jumping over little small dogs in the street.
And then it's just a bunch of guys with white hoods.
You see the monks come out and you just like, you know, parkour slide under their legs and stand up and just walk out with them like real slowly.
Unless if you have a spear on your back and it's just sticking up above the crowd. And they're yeah. like, it's and, that guy.
And it's got that little red tassels on the spear.
It's
like,
just like.
What is that? What?
It's like, really, dude? Really?
Why does that monk have a gun? He's a bodyguard for the monks so that nobody attacks him.
Cool story.
Okay. All right, cool. That's acceptable. I'm gonna just go back and tell him that we lost the guy that has all the weapons.
Well, yeah. I can't wait for Assassin's Creed. Ugh, so good.
That's another thing I thought about whenever, on the first Assassin's Creed, whenever he was like, okay, so he looks like a monk, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think the bad guys eventually would be like, all right, monks, line up.
Yeah.
We're going to find out which one of you little turds is
like
the bad guy.
All the monks like are shaking their knees and they're all nervous. And then you got Alta, you're standing there just like, God.
He's like really calm.
And he's still got all the, like the sword and stuff. And he's like, crap.
And they're all looking up and he's like, he's got his hood tilted down just a little bit like.
101.
Yeah.
Or 101.20. 101.20. That's where I got my
yeah.
head. Which is probably a good time to end it. Right here.
We're going to end it on that word?
Yeah. Sadly. That's how we do things. That's been another episode of the Couch Co-op Podcast. This was episode 13. This is a good one. I like this one. Blocking out the haters.
Blocking out the haters.
If you want to block out the haters with us, check out couchcoop.net. And you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/couchcoopgaming. You can follow us on Twitter at couchco_op. Go follow our Twitch channel, couchco_op, or twitch.tv/couchco_op.
Yeah, and we're also about to add, because I made my account.
Yeah, your personal
one. Our separates, which is couchco_op_Casey.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We'll put
I'm
like,
getting it. I'm getting the thing.
once they're set up and ready to go, we'll just put a link on
it's,
there as
it's
well.
It's literally going to be our Couch Co-op one, and then it'll be _Casey or _Joe.
Yeah, like the couch.
It's really simple.
Couch Co-op, the main one, will be like when we're streaming together.
Yeah, as a group.
And then if
as
we're,
Couch Co-op.
If we're separately streaming, one of us will be, well, we'll be on our respective channels, so.
That's like on our personal time is really what yeah. that's for. Or if we're both playing, but we're playing on separate consoles.
Right.
And you want to see both perspectives, then that's what that's
yeah.
for as well.
And then, let's see. You can also... go subscribe to our YouTube channel, which we're not doing much of yet, but we will be soon. And that is youtube.com/couchcoopgaming. And then you can... What else was there? Instagram. We have an Instagram.
We have an Instagram?
Yeah, it's @couchco_op.
I didn't know that.
Sorry, I forgot to say
that. I would take pictures all day.
Sorry. We have an Instagram. But,
Oh!
So, yeah.
Darn.
I think that's all the links. I think I did it.
We're going to need to write.
I did it.
We need to write like a down like a banner or something.
So, yeah, thanks for tuning in to episode number 13 of the Couch Co-op Podcast. As always, I'm Joe, and this is
Casey Tapp.
And I guess you can follow us on Twitter, too. I'm @Joseph_Ethan.
I don't remember.
You're right. @CaseyTapp, all lowercase.
Yeah, simple.
Simple. And then, so yeah, you can go follow us on Twitter. I try to tweet every now and then, even though I've been slacking on my Twitter.
If you're not sure which one's mine, because there's, you know, probably a lot of Casey Tapps out there, my actual name on there is Mr. Tapp, and I'm wearing a suit with a purple tie.
Okay. True story.
Yeah, I look good.
So, be sure to go check out the About CCE page if you like anything Couch Co-op does, says, or performs. You can donate to us if you like. They're at the About CCE page. And,
what is it? How much money have we made? $0.
$0.
Thanks for the donations.
I mean, it's not really that big of a deal.
I know.
It's just there, just in case if there's like a
generous benefactor.
Yeah. Well, are we? I guess we haven't made a profit, so I guess we're
non-profit. Basically, the donations are going towards pizza. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
But thanks for tuning in. We've made it this far. And we're out.